All right, gentlemen, we're back. Hey, PA, another episode. I'm excited to dive into talking about things with Port Angeles and all the great people that make up our community. Matt, but first, before we get rolling, we need a baby update on what's happening.
Super close to being a father at this point.
Okay. Like, how middle, close is super close? Come on.
Yeah, so the middle of January is the due date, the 14th.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, getting super close, put the crib together. Got pretty close to putting up the stickers in the nursery section.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's getting real.
Yeah.
And how are you feeling about that?
Confident, comfortable.
Oh, good.
You know, I think you just kind of do the best you can.
Yeah.
Hope it turns out.
Yeah, you figure it out because you don't have a choice.
Gotcha. That's kind of what I hear.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, how about you? What's new in your world?
Oh, there's a lot going on with 4PA. We are real close to having our permits in hand to break ground on the Touchstone campus where we're actually doing the podcast from today. So in the office here at the Touchstone campus. So a lot of moving parts, but super optimistic and super excited. I think 2025 is going to be a pretty remarkable year for us.
So, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Keep it up. Keep up the fantastic work.
Thank you. Well, I'm excited to get into talking to our guest today. So I'd like to introduce Coach Sam. Yes. How you doing?
I'm blessed, man.
Right
blessed
on.
To be here.
Yeah, cool.
First and foremost, man, I'm glory to God, man, for this opportunity. And mm-hmm. I'm Brother Joe and Matt, I'm grateful, you know, for the opportunity to be out here, man, and share what God is doing in my life. So
right on.
Yep.
So, Sam, what's your last name?
Salanoa.
Okay. See, notice that I didn't try that. I asked you. Yeah.
Yes.
I just was introduced to you as Coach Sam. So tell us a little bit about why people call you Coach Sam.
Yeah. So I'm on social media. If as you guys look at my social media profile, it says Coach Topetuku Salanoa. Topetuku means continue to praise God.
Okay.
So I kind of change it on social media because of what God is doing in my life, you know, here in our community, in Port Angeles, not only in Port Angeles and in Squim. God is so great with everything that's going on right now.
So do you live in Port Angeles or Squim?
I live in Squim.
Okay.
Yeah, all the way the other side of Squim by Sunland. So, okay. Yeah, but I work here in Port Angeles, the west side of Port Angeles, the Olympic Disposal.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Almost 10 years now.
At Olympic Disposal?
Olympic Disposal, right, yes, on. As a heavy equipment operator.
Okay.
Yep.
It's probably where I've seen you.
Yep.
Good. We run in similar circles in that regard. So I want to know, when did you first come to the Olympic Peninsula? What brought you to our area?
Yes, we moved here 2012, and we stay in Squim. When my wife is from here, so I'm born and raised in American Samoa. Between Hawaii and New Zealand. So if you don't know where American Samoa is, so. But yeah, we moved here 2012, and I used to live in Seattle. Kind of go back. Before I moved here in Washington, I was in, I graduated in 2005 in American Samoa. I got the opportunity to play college football. So I was down in California, Los Angeles, Mopar College, and then worked my way to USC, and didn't work out with my shoulder dislocate. Shoulder dislocate. Okay. So that was the end of my football. So when I moved here, 2009, I'm trying to get back to the game, so I play for the Seattle Shockers. It's the semi-pro football team.
Okay.
For another 2 years, and it was not that was not for me. It pretty much, God says it's time to hang up the cleats, and because he got a very special calling for my life. That's why everything was changed for me.
Okay.
And I met my wife, and then we moved here, and I almost moved back, man. I almost moved back to Seattle. I was like, what is this, man? Because in swim, it was so slow at the time.
Yeah.
Can't even find a job. So, but before that, I was in Seattle, work at Boeing at the time. So, and they laid off, and you know, at the time, they didn't have a job. So my wife said, let's go to Port Angeles, swim. Okay. So we came here to 2012 and then kind of stayed there and I'm trying to find something. So my first job here, it was at the Seven Cedar Casino.
Okay.
We kind of built that relationship with Jerry Allen.
So, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so great people.
Yeah.
Great people. So I worked for them, do security for them and for a little bit. And then Costco for a little bit and then Safeway for a little bit. And then I'm here at Olympic Disposal.
Okay.
Until today. So I'm... yeah, we move here and I love it because we used to live in Federal Way, man. You hear the siren every night, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, man, I think this is a best move that we, because our kids were young at the time. They were first grade and second grade, and so they beautiful community to raise kids, man, and safe too. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually one of the reasons that my wife and I came back here in 2002 was to raise a family here as well, just the pace of life and everything. So you, your wife's family was from the area, so that's how you knew about it. And then you weren't sure at first, though, when you came here?
Yeah, man. I mean,
what was the turning point?
Yeah, it was like nothing here.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, whoa, what is this? And I, you know, little by little, you know, kind of picked up everything, and then I started coaching my son in the first grade at the swim. You know, I was at Walmart, and this coach came up to me. He's like, "Hey, I heard your story, man. We'd love to have you out to coach our youth, man, the swim." So I went out and started coaching, and that's when it starts everything.
Okay.
So I coached there for 2 years for the little one. And I knew what God is doing in my life, you know. And then the middle school reached out to me and said, "Hey, we'd love to have you." But you know the deal at the school, they always give the opportunity first to the teachers and stuff.
Right.
And I was like, "Hey, why me? I'm just a regular guy, you know." But they saw my work at the youth one.
Okay.
And I said, "Hey, we'd love to have Coach Sam." And then some people, you know, kind of talk about me, and then I was like, yeah, you'll love to have Coach Sam. So they offered me the job as a head coach at Squim, and then I did for 4 or 5 years there, and just working with those young people, and it was amazing, you know, not only working with them, but share the gospel of Jesus, because that's pretty much just my calling from the Lord. So after that, I prayed to God for all these things. I say, "Lord, whatever you're going to do for me, I want to get to the next level, the high school." So I was patient with everything, just stayed there at the middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And then here, Port Angeles, say, "Hey, we'd love to have you over here at the..." I was like, "God is opening doors for me." So I spent 4 years over here at Port Angeles. The coach that hired me was Coach Washi.
Okay.
He was here. He's a retired military. And he was here his first year, the COVID time.
Oh yeah.
So he hired me here, and then we do a little. It was a short season, and then he kind of moved back to Oregon.
Okay.
So I started working with my new coach, came up that time, and then it was Coach Dustin Clark.
Yep.
So Coach Dustin said, "Hey, we'd love to, you know, to have you, man. We heard a lot of great things." So I stayed with them for another 3 years, and then it was amazing. excuse me. Last year we went to the state, you know, we take Port Angeles all the way. That was amazing, a season for us. And I made the decision this year to take the year off because of everything started with the YAC program.
Okay.
And that's when I started, you know, the YAC.
Yeah, so that's what we definitely want to dive into, because it sounds like that's a big part of your life right now. So how do you first of all, what is it? And then how did you kind of transition into that, or making that more of the priority?
Yeah, so YAC is a Young Athlete for Christ.
Okay.
And so the The CEO and the founder that started is down in California.
Okay.
But I know him. He's what, like my college coach.
Gotcha.
And then he saw everything on social media, what I'm doing here, and he's like, "Hey, let's open the yak there." Mm-hmm. And I was kind of, I don't know, So I was doing football at the time, and so I kind of took some time off, and then I was like, "Lord, what do you got for me?" And then that was open to me. It's like, "Hey, the yak, To what I like about the Yak, start working with the young people. Mm-hmm. The reason why I say that, because when I work at the high school level, there are kids that are coming up to high school, and we are having a hard time kind of work with them because they didn't have any, guidance. And there's some kids, they don't have a father in the home and
right.
all that. So,
right.
Yeah.
So how young were the first kids that you started coaching? You mentioned your son, was it first grade?
Yeah, it was a first grade.
Yeah?
In Squim. After that, I worked at the middle school for Squim. And then move up to high school. And after the 4 years of high school here. And then now I'm doing the Yak. We started in March this year.
Okay.
And we have all level all the way up to high school.
Okay.
Flag football. So that's what's the first sports that we open here for us.
Okay. And will it eventually open to other sports? Like that's just, or is it strictly flag football?
No, yeah. Right now, this Saturday is our last week for basketball.
Okay.
So it's a 6-week league. So, they come in. And then what we do at the Yak, we're trying to share that the character, pillars of character, mm-hmm. not just, playing the game.
Sure.
But I want to make sure that's the reason why I mentioned, earlier, because there's a lot of kids who are coming up to high school. They have none of those things.
Right.
And then, the Bible say, train your child the way it should go. When they grow up, they're not depart from it. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're doing this young age. We're kind of focused on the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade.
Yeah.
Right now to plant that seed, So we talk about for 6 weeks, or we talk about trustworthiness, mm-hmm. respect, responsibility, fairness. The word last week was caring, and
okay.
then so this this Saturday is citizenship, but I'm not using citizenship. I'm going to use love, because we're in the season that birth of Christ. So we're going to talk about love at the game this Saturday.
What great characteristics to instill in young kids. Like, yeah. I mean, I remember, raising our kids, because my kids are 17 and 20 now. And I've always, when you teach things to them when they're young, you hope that they remember.
Yes.
They hope that it sticks somehow.
Yes.
And there were years where I wasn't so sure.
Yep.
But now that my kids are older, you go, oh man, they were paying attention. Yeah. They were listening. They were seeing they were paying very close attention to what mom and dad were doing, how we were acting,
yep.
how we handled certain situations. And I think a lot of their character now is a result of those early years.
Amen.
And
yes.
It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. It's heartbreaking how many kids don't have that guidance. And
yep.
so that's pretty awesome that you can step into that role. Do you have other probably helpers, right? Other
people we have volunteer
volunteers.
Coaches and and they're all kind of same thing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
They love the kids, they love the game of football, some basketball, so they come in and I always talk to them about three things, and then that's FAT, F-A-T, coaches that were faithful. A is available, mm-hmm. and T is teachable.
Yeah.
We want people like that, because I don't want you just to be there, not the right reason. Because some coaches, they're trying to be like Coach Carroll and Coach Pilichek. They're just there to win games.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm not. I don't want to do it that way.
Okay.
We got to make sure what we're doing here. It's all about the kids.
Yeah.
Make sure at the end of the day, they're going home with something. But
yeah.
I don't want them to just here just to win games. And then, those things.
Yeah, I mean, coaches, teachers, to this day, I can look back and remember a handful that were super influential in my life as an athlete, and it was just amazing the lessons. And I gravitated to the more soft-spoken life lesson type coaches. I didn't really do too well under the very like authoritarian yell type of coaching, although I know some people do.
Yeah.
But personally, I loved the coaches that took the time to learn about me as a person as well, not and help coach that and the character. And I really think that makes a huge difference in the long run. So that's pretty awesome. So where does that, you took some time off to devote to this program. Where do you feel, what's the next step? Is it more kids, more age groups, more sports? Is there something, is there another level of this program that you're aspiring to, like at a national level or a state level or anything like that?
Yeah, that's the plan. You know, I'm at the same time too, as a leader, I'm trying to find people to mentor in. So that way I don't stay here.
Sure.
I want to move forward and then go open, because we got a family from Whidbey Island and down in Aberdeen. They saw the work and they say, Coach, we'll love to have something like that here.
Okay.
But I can't just keep opening things. But here we got to make sure, you know, we have the right people that you trust that you can, you know, work with the young people here before we open another one.
Yeah.
So I'm, right now, our last week is Saturday, and we've been blessed because, and I always say this because God is, you know, I always say Father, man, is Father means source. He's the source of everything. What He done for me in the past, we just done my football camp over here in the summer, and then I invite the two-time Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
He came out, and then Wayne Hunter, he played over 10 years in the NFL.
Okay.
He came out here and then kind of give back to our young people here.
Okay.
And this one right here today, this week, when we're done with this, we're going to get ready to I build relationship with the Husky basketball team.
Okay.
So they're going to take care of us on the 29th of this month for our YAC program to come there and tour the facility.
Nice.
And have all tickets to all of our parents and basketball players to experience those things. So God is so good, man.
That's cool. I mean, the full-on experience to give the kids the full snapshot of what they can aspire to, that's cool.
Yep.
Did you play sports, Matt? I don't think we've had this conversation.
Yeah, I don't think we've had this conversation. So in high school, I golfed and swam. So technically sports, yes, but it's not like a competitive team sport.
Golf and swimming are sports.
Yeah, that's good stuff there.
Yeah, I mean,
as long as the golfers and swimmers out there is like throwing darts at Matt right now.
Right. No, I, you know, when I was younger, I played a bunch of sports. I was probably better at video games, you know. I think
that's a sport now.
I was going to say, if the video game scholarships and stuff would have been around when I was a kid, I think my life would look different.
Yeah, there's tons of opportunities for kids nowadays in the tech world, virtual world.
Sure. So, yeah, as far as the coaches and stuff, do you have coaches you look up to that you sort of try to model yourself after? Or who are some of the coaches who inspire you?
My mentors, I was around Coach Pete Carroll down in USC. The way he do things, man, that's how I pick up a lot of my stuff.
Okay.
And my coach, down in California, Coach Diaz, he's a founder of our YAC program. He started this in 1997, and he's man of God, and he's a recruiter at the college right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I do too today. Help our kids to get to the next level. I have a lot of connections with here the Husky, down the Cougars, and the USC, UCLA, you name all the D1, D2 school. But the problem is, you know, you can't find kids around in our area, you know, play that level. Because they keep them calling me and say, hey, Coach, I want to go play D1. But their work is not matched with their goals and dreams. That's why I'm trying to, you cannot tell me then you want to play D1 and you're sitting in front of the PS4 and PS5. Mm-hmm. That don't work like that. So, yeah. Those are my mentor, man, and I love, you know, till today I'm talking to them, and I'm continue to, encouraging me, advise me about a lot of things. If I need anything, I call them, and, you know, they give me advice and encourage me about things. So.
Nice.
So you said Pete Carroll, right?
Coach Carroll, yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
We've heard of him. We've
heard of him around, around these parts, for sure.
Yep.
So what's your favorite part about football? If you had to pick two or three things, there's tons. I think football's fantastic. I could probably talk about football for days. But what's your favorite thing about football?
Football, man. There's a lot of life lessons in there. So I'm a D-line. I play D-line. So I'm sometimes, you know, on the line, you there's a lot of things going on the line, you know, with big guys. So at the end of the game, you know, we gotta remember, you know, we're all human, you know, and so there's a lot of life lessons in the game of football, and that's what I love about, you know. And then sometimes we see, you know, different color. Mm-hmm. You know, some people, you say, oh, it's black, white, brown, all that. But this, when you play the game, you see one, like family, you know, big one family. So and that's why I'm trying to do that over here, too, at our program. You know, I don't want any, because there's some parents coming in, man, and, you know, when you give them a white helmet, I say, oh, I don't like that collar. I say, come on now. Come on, so, man. Yeah, you know, those are little things that we need to talk to our parents also about those things, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what I love about the game of football, you know. Lot of life lessons, man.
That's awesome.
So do you still have dreams about smearing the quarterback?
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, so... I watched the game. My wife's like, sit down. I was like, no, I gotta get up tomorrow, you know. And then I got my other son that he didn't play last year, but he's kind of, I trained him since he was little, and he was kind of DN kind of guy, like what I used to do, do the hands. I told him, you know, slow feet don't eat, you know, you beat the hands, you beat the man. So he loved that stuff. And then he didn't play last year. So he told me that he's going to play this year. So I can't wait to, you know, to work with him more so he can go out there and kind of do those things for me.
Yeah. I know. We kind of do get to that age where it's not as easy anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I hung up my soccer cleats probably about 8 years ago or so.
Okay.
And I miss it a lot. I do other things, but I couldn't take the hard hits anymore. Like that was the thing for me with like the competitive contact sports, is like I couldn't get up from those hard hits as quickly. You know, some of the guys out there were college kids, 19, 20 years old, and I'm, you know, 40 years old running around there taking a hard hit. It's just not the same as it was. And so finally got to that point where I was like, you know, I think I'll stick to running. You know, like running and I can have control over it and no one's going to be coming at me wanting to take me out.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
So did you kind of go through that period of time where it was a little difficult to hang it up and not play competitively? And you said you had some shoulder
issues. Yeah. As soon as I found my gift, you know, this is something that God, this is a revelation to me when I spend a lot of time with him. The Proverbs 19:21 is a many plans in the man's heart, but God's purpose will prevail. So that it changed the way I look at things, because when I left back home in the island, my head was like, oh, I'm going to the NFL. So I came out here, do everything, and it didn't go my way.
Yeah.
So I move over here in Washington. I kind of do, you know, go back to football. Not happening.
Yeah.
Get into coaching stuff. You know, in football, still, you know, football. I told God, it's like, I want to coach the next level. So he opened the doors for me here at the high school. So I got the opportunity to go coach college ball, too.
Okay.
So I'm in California as a D-line. So I talked to the wife, and then it was fast. My wife's like, yeah, no, I don't think it. So that tells me right there, like, God is, you know, that memory verse there,
yeah,
you know, many plans in the man's heart, but God's And then that changed everything for me. Okay. I was like, okay, we'll stay here, and then you know, we'll see what the Lord is gonna do for me. So now it's going, you know, kind of spend some more time with Him. I share with our coaches about leadership and character. You know, Jesus said, if you want to be great, you got to be served. You know, serve your gift to the world, mm-hmm. and that's what we're trying to do here. And then, and I always pray to God. I say, Lord, I want to die empty. You know, because right now I'm loaded. I got lots of stuff to give out, but I got to give it all out to other people that are under my, you know, you don't want to save all those things and go to the grave for all those things.
Yeah.
So you got to give out everything you got to people that are under your wings and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's my prayer, because, you know, when Jesus done with all the work, He say, it is finished.
Yep.
And that's the way we got to look at it.
Yeah.
You know, so right now, you know, continue to find more coaches. You know, I know, you know, the podcast, everybody's listening right now. You know, if you that one that wants to come out and have the heart for the kids, you know, and love the Lord, I would love to mentor you and, you know, continue to find your gift. And that's what I'm doing right now with my kids now, because mm-hmm. I didn't, nobody teach me this kind of stuff when I was young. So I talk to them, you got to find your gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why right now I got a job and a work.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of people say, what are you talking about? So, you know, when you don't spend time, it's kind of a little hard for you to understand.
Yeah.
But that's the, I always say this thing, but a lot of people, they kind of take it the wrong way. I say, any manufacturer, like the phone, the manufacturer will create a product, and then it comes with a book, and that's the book called manual. So us, God is our manufacturer. That Bible, that's our manual right there. And that is the problem with us today, not spending more time in there. But the memory verse that changed, and then I share this with our Yak, our coaches, the memory verse that changed my life is Matthew 6:33. He say, first, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He will add all things to you. Stop worrying about seeking other things.
Yeah.
He knows what you need. So He says, seek the kingdom first and His righteousness. That's why if you guys follow on my social media, it's all kingdom stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I love just to, you know, spend time with Him, and I'm open, you know, you see revelation. He showed me so much thing.
Yeah.
And that's why I was talking to Matt earlier, you know, and I'm new here. My mind is trying to look into purchase some of those things so I can start doing my podcast. So
oh, yeah.
I can share the word of God
to
our community and, you know, around the world. So,
yeah.
Yep.
So you gave them all the digs on the podcast stuff?
I don't want to die with all this information. I want to pass it. I want to pass it out, right?
Amen,
yeah.
Amen.
And honestly, you just listening to your message, it's... I just want to run through a brick wall for you.
Yeah.
Like, it's so inspiring.
So here's the thing. I always tell people, you know, God wants you to have two jobs. And then the Bible say, sow your seed in the morning, but in the evening, don't let your hands rest idle. That's the other word in there. So that means you got to go to your job, take care of the family. But when you get off work at 3:30, that's when your work starts, your gift. You know, that's why I always tell them, find your gift and serve it to the world, because God didn't create us just to put us here and go to work, pay bills, and die.
Yeah.
He put us down here to give our gift out to the world.
Yeah.
To make a difference, you know.
Yeah, I mean, service work is vital. I mean, it's what makes communities go around. I mean, if it was a bunch of selfish people living in a community, it wouldn't be a community.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really is serving others. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Yep.
So when you look at the landscape of our community, Squim, Port Angeles, like, it's unique. Like, people get drawn here. I mean, the beauty.
Yep.
Like, what sorts of things have you picked up on that are you think are unique to our community? Is it the people? Is it the natural beauty? Like, what sort of things stand out to you?
To me, man, I would say everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the one I love, man, the summertime over here at the water,
mm-hmm.
Lake Crossing, and what's the other lake here?
Southern,
Lake Sutherland.
Yeah.
So we have, I know Mama Darlene, they own a house there at the lake house.
Okay.
So since my boy were little, We always go there. She always opened her house for us, and that's like, I mean, that's heaven to me.
Oh, it's so many memories made out there. Like, I've got so many fond memories of the lakes as a kid. Oh, man. I mean, there's nothing like it. There's really nothing like it.
And then the mountain, all that stuff. And then my wife, you know, loved this Four Seasons stuff. And I mean, even myself. So, yeah, we are blessed. We are blessed.
So do you see yourself sticking around the peninsula for a while? Like, is it you got enough roots here that...
Yeah, pretty much for another, I would say another 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, I continue to pray to God what is next for me. Yeah. So I'm, you know, January, we're going to have a meeting with the city again to lock in those fields, the brand new field there.
Oh, yeah.
The turf field there in Monroe, yeah. So we're going to, I have to get on those things like ahead of time. That's how I am. Yeah. You know, I always on time, you know, even 2-3 months early. I say, hey, you're too early, coach. Yeah. I say, hey, I'm sorry. That's the way I am. I just want to, you know, put those time in there. And yep.
So just doing the math, your kids are older now too, right?
My twin boys, they're freshmen now in high school.
Okay.
And then my oldest is sophomore, so they're 14 and 15.
Okay.
And then my daughter's down in she went to the Kooks down there. She's down in Bowman right now.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got 4 3 boys 1 girl.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're all big now.
Yeah, it's interesting getting to this stage in parenting too, because then you start thinking about life with your kids out of the house, you know. Yep. It goes so fast. Like, it will actually go extremely fast.
Yeah.
Like, yours isn't even in the house yet, but I mean, like,
yeah, I'm just like, well, I can't wait to get a little kid out of here.
But it is kind of a weird shift, because your life is your kids for so long.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, they pretty much dictate, you know, a lot of what you do. And then when you start seeing them become independent, they start talking about what they want to do, you know, some of them start going to college or whatever, then you're like, oh man, like, I'm going to have another life outside of my kids here real quick. You know, that's kind of where my wife and I are, and we're talking about kind of what's next in that regard for us. And I've heard cool things like people get to date again, couples get to date again, you know, when their kids are out of the house. And I mean, I'm excited for that kind of stuff. Do you have inklings of that with, like, you and your wife thinking about what's next when the kids are gone? Or
she wants to go to Hawaii.
Okay.
Yeah, we have families there, and but we'll see.
Yeah,
I told her we'll just give it to God.
Yeah, it is hard to predict. Yep. I mean, it is hard to predict. I don't want to pry too much, so you know, put words in your mouth or anything like that. But if we've learned anything over the last several years, like, life can shift.
Yeah.
You know, in a minute. Yep. So I try not to put too much stake in
it. Yeah, so the other thing I want to say too about our program.
Yeah, please.
It's so amazing, because we got kids from CQ.
Okay.
And Forks, that they're doing our basketball right now. Like, they come way far here. So the March, with our first flag football, we got a kid from Bremerton. And we got a few from Port Townsend.
Okay.
So they come in, and I was like, and then people's like, wait, why are they come all the way out here, man? And it's like, I always talk about, it's your gift.
Yeah.
You know, when you see the fruit tree, you're only going over there because of the fruit. Yeah. So they see the fruit of our work, and then I was like, no, we're going over there. And then after that, we take our kids over in the high school kids to PLU for visits and stuff for college, and then we go down Eastern Washington. We went down to Los Angeles to take a few over here from Washington too. So it's amazing, man. You know, I can talk about all these things, man. The Lord is, you know. And then I always tell my kids, this phone right here, there's so many contacts. You know, you're talking about former NFL, some of the NFL college coaches, and all those guys. And then I told him, I always put my hand on and say, Lord, thank you for always providing all these, you know, relationships.
Amazing people. Yeah.
Yep.
No, I mean, that's huge. When we, on this podcast, we talk a lot about the relationships. I mean, that's a lot of the common thread that our guests have had, is just the community around them, the people that have helped them over the years. And so I think that's awesome. I mean, you can't get through life without having friends.
Yep.
And having contacts that you can, you know, call when you need something, or, you know, people that you can rely on in times of trouble. I mean, that's vitally important.
Yeah.
Yeah, vitally important. Man.
And then the other thing big for our community, man, you know, if they're listening tonight, I just want to thank you all, because when we do all those football camp, the Elwha community donates some stuff.
Okay.
Seven Seater donate rooms for those NFL guys.
Oh yeah.
The what's it called? The store in town. The shoe place. Swain's.
Swain's. Yeah.
They donate some gift for the kids for the football camp. So many, you know. You know, I'm not on my head right now, but
yeah.
I just want to thank you all for always support our YAC program.
Yeah.
If you're listening tonight.
Oh yeah, and I mean, those people that you just named are ones that sponsor so many events. Like,
yep.
We've had, you know, other guests on here who have organizations or things they're involved with. It's a lot of the same people. Swain's, yep. You know, Seven Seaters, yeah. Herman Brothers. I mean, a lot of these people just continually step up.
Yep.
And that's that heart of service. Like, I mean, I know many of the people that are involved in those organizations, and they work from this abundance. They're,
yep,
like, we're blessed. We have abundance.
Amen.
Like, we want to give it out to help, you know, our community.
Yep.
I mean, I love that. I mean, and you,
yeah,
know, I experience that on virtually a daily basis with, yep, 4PA, because, you know, we're funded 100% by community members, and I just get absolutely blown away.
Wow.
I've got two guys that are working for me now that have been with me for a while. They don't have a ton of stuff right now. They're trying to work their way back up and get on their feet. And one of our volunteers came in and gave an anonymous gift just to go to those two guys specifically for the holidays, you know, and just, oh, stuff like that. I'm,
yeah,
just,
gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I hear stories like that all the time. I experience that. It sounds like you experienced that,
yep,
too,
yep,
with,
yep,
the generosity of our community. And I absolutely love that. And I think, like, if at the end of the day, like, that's why, you know, I stay here in Port Angeles and have put roots down here, and I love it here.
Yep.
I mean, there's just so much goodness. And why do we focus on bad things? Why,
right,
do why,
right,
do people focus on bad things?
Right.
Yeah, who's talking about bad things?
That's
not,
yeah,
us.
I mean,
that's not us.
It's not us, but so many people do, you know?
True.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think that it's just kind of one of those, like, things that's so simple, but so many people get distracted. You know, we talk to our kids, especially when they were younger, more so. You know, the phone is a good thing on one hand, but,
yep,
the sheer amount of distraction that it causes you from the real things,
yep,
in life,
that's
the important,
right,
things in life. And I think that now that they're older, they've kind of learned that lesson a little more. They can see,
yep,
it. But, man, do we ever get distracted? I'm guilty of it. I mean,
yep,
it's just, it gets you, it pulls you towards so much negative when there's so much positive out there,
yep,
too. I don't know. How do you guys cope? I mean, what do you do? I mean, obviously, you're a man of faith. You go to the Bible. I mean, what other things out there? What about you, Matt? What do you go to when times are tough or when you're looking for direction?
So, my first place is the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
My second place is just being a good neighbor,
yep,
with the State Farm stuff. So it's just like, you know, I feel like I have so much abundance, and I feel like I'm super blessed with everything that,
yep,
happened in the path.
Yeah.
Just the things I went through and stuff. So it's difficult to not feel super grateful towards everything. So I just look at everything as a blessing.
Yeah.
The second thing that helps me, if something happens, I don't think, how come this is happening to me?
Yep.
It's how come this is happening for me?
Yeah.
So it's just like, huh, possibly I had to learn some patience, possibly this, possibly,
yep,
you know, just that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty positive with everything because life is good, God is good, like it's just... Yeah, just super, super blessed.
Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I oftentimes, it's really easy to, you know, get into a headspace where you're like, woe is me, life is horrible. You know, like, it's not, it doesn't take too much to get there. But, like, I think back, like, I've never missed a meal.
Yep.
I've never gone without the basic necessities that I feel have been provided for me. And it's like, why would I worry about tomorrow?
Amen.
Like, what?
Right.
I'm like, if you look at the past, like, why would I possibly worry about tomorrow? I'm still here. I'm still breathing.
Yeah.
You know, so why would I worry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, they say, in everything, give thanks. That is the will of God.
Yeah, give thanks.
Like when it's happy or sad, you know, good or bad.
Yeah.
Those things, you know, we got to give. Because some people, they're so fast. Oh, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
When things are going right. But when it's not going right, oh, yeah.
Yeah, what do you, yeah, when they're not going right, yep. Yeah. And I mean, if you were to sit down right now and make a list of, like, the 10 things that you're most thankful for in your life, and you started out every morning looking at that list, like, it would be really difficult to have a bad day.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yep. But right. I mean, how many of us, like, don't start our day like that? I mean, again, completely guilty. Yep. You know, it's a conscious thing that, like, you have to turn that on.
Yep.
And focus on that. Otherwise, it's so easy just to pick up the phone or do whatever and look at other things. But, like, when you're thankful and you work out of a place of being thankful, like, everything around you has a different tint to it. There's like a just a positive lens on things when you're thankful.
Amen. Yep. But you got to start your day with the Lord, man. I get up at 3:30 every morning. 3:30. Yeah. That's like that's my time with him. So you know, I look at the mirror before I brush my teeth and I say, I am the child of the Most High God. I am a great father. I'm a great mentor. I'm a great leader. I make right decision, and I'm getting better every day.
Okay, so you got you.
Oh yeah,
you gotta start that.
Oh, you gotta have a, you know, and a lot of people say, Coach, how do you do that, man? And then even with all these things, you know, when we go to college, opportunity, I say, how do you do that, man? I say, hey, God. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the other thing too. I'm trying to explain it to my kids, coaches. When you do so good with your gift, don't ever think like it's all you.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta pass it on me and give it all the glory to the source, mm-hmm. to our Father. That's where all the things come from. So don't walk around in this town and be like, oh, that was me doing that. That was me. That was, you know, that whole football camp was me. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to share those things to our leaders in our community so they understand that. Because the time you do that, the Bible say, God say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. So you humble yourself, he will continue to lift you up more and more and more.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
3:30.
Yeah, it might be close to your bedtime.
Oh,
by
man.
The time this finishes.
You usually go bed at 10, man. So I'm good. You know, when you know what you're doing in life, you know, it's not looking at it. It's a job. You'd be like, oh, this is my work.
Yeah.
So thank you, Lord, for my gift. So, yep. And I see you guys. You guys are, you know, your gift, Joe, man.
Yeah.
Well, listen, earlier to you, man, that's amazing. That's a gift right there. What are you doing right now? Same with Matt, you know.
Yeah, you know, we talked before the show, you know, I was a pastor prior to this, running 4PA. And, you know, a lot of what I do stems out of that, my faith. And it's a big part of my life. And I think for me, it's this burning inside to serve. Like, you know, you have that model of Christ, and he came to serve, not to be served. And he did it perfectly.
Amen.
And, you know, he went through some horrific things, as you know. But he always had other people in the forefront of his mind.
Yep.
And it was never nothing he did was a selfish act.
Yep.
And so, you know, my service to the community stems out of that place. You know, not everybody shares my position on things, you know, even within our organization. That's, you know, but at the same rate, like, that's where I work out of. And it, you know, we see some very difficult things in our community when we're out there, and we see brokenness. We see people at low points in their life, and like, I just have to believe that everybody can be redeemed if given the right opportunity and you know, thing presented to them. And I mean, that's my heart right now, is to see the broken people redeemed and made whole again. Yep.
Amen.
And I think it can be done. Like, nobody is beyond the reach of God.
Yep.
Absolutely nobody.
Yep.
Yeah, I think, especially with the steps you've taken with the organization to get close to those people.
Yeah.
Like, that's unprecedented. You know, it's difficult to get as close as you did and just, yeah, have every person feel comfortable with it. And it's, that's just impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you can't build relationship without being face-to-face with people.
Yep.
Like, you, mm-hmm. I mean, you just have to go and insert yourself into people's worlds and lives in order to understand what they need.
Yep.
And so it really was, there really wasn't another choice. Like, you can't, gotcha. You can't serve people from behind a desk or a distance.
Yep.
You have Amen. To serve them up close and personal. And so that was always my model, is I knew that I couldn't do any of this work justice unless I was out there treating people as human beings.
Yep.
And getting in their world.
Yep.
And I, you know, I think that we are seeing some good results, and that's how I'm going to continue to act. You know, I don't want to be the CEO that sits behind a desk. Like, I have to be out there amongst people doing the work.
Amen.
You know, I think that's just how you get stuff done.
Yeah, for sure.
So. And I don't know. I see you taking a real hands-on approach too, Matt. Like, you've got...
I try to.
Yeah.
I try to just connect with people. I'm interested in people, listening to people's stories. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah.
I think the time you have on this planet goes so quick. It's like, just wake up and say yes to everything.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I ran into a buddy of mine the other day, and he was just like super enthusiastic and super chipper. Like, he was doing a pretty hard job, and I was just like, man, like, you're just, what's going on? He goes, tomorrow's not promised.
Yeah,
like,
amen. Tomorrow
is not promised, and that is very true, and that is something I think we forget about frequently as well.
So you work with a lot of the homeless people, or... You work with them, or just
We do. We do outreach, and we engage with them on a daily basis. And a lot of it is just simply asking, like, what they need.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, like, we don't provide every service. Like, I mean, 4PA doesn't pretend to solve everybody's problems. So a lot of times we rely on partner agencies. We have social service agencies that we work with that we can call. That can provide basic necessities. If somebody needs medical attention, we've got those contacts. But what kind of stands out about our organization is we go into a lot of places where people are, into these kind of hard to reach places where people are really hiding.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them are wrapped up in addiction. I see a lot of shame on people, you know, and we go into those places. Like, we're not afraid to go into those places and engage with them. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so, no, that was something that I was thinking about, too. Sharing the word with them, too, with love, you know. It's a powerful thing to do.
Yeah.
And they might, you know, change their life. From that, the word, because the word of God, it changed people.
Yeah.
And my favorite that I'm going to share tonight, this is the last one, is Genesis 1:26. This is my favorite memory verse in the Bible. And it says, God said, let's make man in my own image and my likeness. So when God, a lot of people thinking about when they hear the word image, to look like God, but that's not the meaning of image. The image means character. Characteristic of God.
Mm-hmm.
And likeness, it functioned just like him. So he created, we are the only species that he created function just like him and with his character, walking around on this earth. And that is something that people, they lost today.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. After he say that, let's make, you know, man my own image and likeness. And then he say, let them have dominion. And this is big today because I see in my own eyes in our community, when he say, let them have dominion, that means let us have dominion.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning authority, power, kingdom, all those things. And then what happened is when you see the list, it say over the earth. So fish of the sea, birds of the skies, and all those things, but you never see another human mentioned in that list. But today, people, they're controlling people, but that's not what the God wants us to do.
Yeah.
And that is powerful. When I teach this thing to them, I went to California last month, teach this thing to them, and then be like, wow. But that is a memory verse. You say, let them have dominion over the earth, but not over people. But now, today's world, people controlling other people.
Mm-hmm.
But the word of dominion, too, is leadership.
Yeah.
Lead.
Yeah.
So when God talk about lead, you're not leading people. It talks about lead your gift in the area of gifting. And that's the meaning. It's so powerful, but you got to be understand that. It's a kingdom stuff. It's so hard for other people to understand. I was like, what? Yeah. I don't get it. But that is what's happening today. When you understand that, you'll become a true leader. Because true leader, it's not about manipulation. It's about inspiration.
Yeah.
True leader is not about controlling. It's about service.
Yep.
True leader is not about power, it's about empowerment.
Yeah.
And that's why we got to understand today in our community, because I see some job around, yeah, they're yelling, you know, telling, oh, you need to do that, get out of here. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening today. But, you know, to me, you know, when I find that opportunity, that's my focus on New Year. I want to start my own podcast, and then not only, you know, just talking from there, but I want to go out and do the work, you know, see some of those folks, you know, just like you say, ask what they need, you know, and if they need whatever food or all that, and at the same time, share a little bit about this God that, you know, it's been good to me this whole years I've been on this earth.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, thank you guys so much for having me, man.
Man, Coach Sam.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, just.
We appreciate
you. Yeah, so inspired.
Yep, we appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
And can't wait to see what is in store for you.
Yep, and I'll keep you guys in prayer. What a gift that you guys have, man. So continue to, you know, do it, you know.
Right.
All the glory to God, man.
Thank you.
Yep,
thank you.